Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Yid. We're starting on daf Tes Amud Beis, the last line. And for the first tikkle Gemara, we're going to go back a little bit into the cheshbonis of yesterday, but it's only for the first few minutes. Don't be nervous, Mitchum. Everything will work out well with everybody's help. The bottom line of Tes Amud Beis, Ahu Shtara Dehavik Sivbei. A shtar came in front of Bezdin, and they noticed that it said, Shit Shnin Yiserta. 6 years more than it should have been. In other words, all the shtaris, for instance, assuming that you're taking the Goyish year today, 2018, all the shtaris sit on them dated 2018, and this was dated 2024. Shtar, 2024. Sabra Banaka made the Rabba the Maimar. Maybe Rabbi, Rebbe. Sabalamei mahai shtar me'ichihi. That's a shtar me'ucher. Why is that called a shtar me'ucher? Because not that the soifer made a mistake. The soifer specifically and expressly added 6 more years at the request and with the acquiescence of the malve and the loive. What exactly is a shtar me'ucher? We know shtar me'ucherim are ksheirim. Shtar muktim is possible. Shtar me'ucher is kosher. What's the benefit or what's the advantage or disadvantage of a shtar me'ucher? The advantage to the loive is that he's able to freely sell all of his properties until the date of the shtar, because if and when he does not go and pay on his choiv on the maturity date, you know what happens? The malva cannot collect from any of the properties that were sold prior to the date of the shtar. So using our example of the 2018-2024, if and when there's a loan made today in 2018, the shtar says 2024. And the maturity on the choyvel mushul says in 1 year from now. 1 year. Which means the choyvel in 2025, in 7 years from now. What happens if throughout that time, meaning the first 6 years from 2018 to 2024, the loyvis sold a whole bunch of properties? Under normal circumstances, if you had a regular shtar, then the maturity date comes. The loyvis doesn't pay, the malva is able to collect from the mishubadim. Mishubadim means all the properties that were owned by the loyvis during that period of time before he sold them. Why? Because there was a lien impressed and imposed upon all of these properties as a result of this loive, as a result of this halvah bishtar. The reason why he wrote 2024 instead of 2018, lechoira, because the malva was giving a window of 6 years for the loive to be able to go and sell as many properties as he wishes, and the malva would then not be able to collect from those properties after the maturity date. Why? Because the halvah says from 2024, any purchaser will go and say, well, I bought the property in 2020. I bought it in 2021, 2022. Years before the 2024 effective date of this halvah. And therefore, the Chachamim assumed that this was written as a shtar me'ucher intentionally to give this additional window to the loive. If you're wondering, why does the loive care? Yeah. The loive cares very, very much, because the average purchaser, if he sees that there's a lien on the property, that of course takes away from the marketability, the saleability, and ultimately the purchase price on the property. Because anybody that's going to buy the property will say, what's going to happen a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, the malva is going to come, he's going to take it away. I know that this loive is very schwach, that's why he's selling off his properties in fire sales, because unfortunately he has no money. Uy, so the malva is going to take this property back. However, if the shtar is written for 2024, a purchaser knows that the malva won't be able to take it away, and therefore he'll be willing to pay top dollar, because he knows that it will remain his in perpetuity. So therefore the Chachamim assumed that the reason why this shtar was written with this 6 year advance date was for shtar me'ucher purposes, because the malva went and he was moichel. Let's look at the Rashi first, the last of the wide lines, fourth line from the top. Me'ucher hu, malva osa imoy toiva. The malva did a toiva, a favor to the loiva. Umocha loy shibit karkois. Shoshay shanim. He said, if you have to sell any property over the next 6 years, no problem. No lien, no mortgage, nothing, no encumbrance on that property. He knows he has nothing to lose. Since the zman of his machira is 2020, 2021, the shtar says on 2024, if ultimately the slaver doesn't pay and the malva wants to go and take away my property, he'll have to come to Bezin. Bezin will see the date of the shtar 2024. My shtar is 2021. It preceded this halva by 3 years. Beautiful! And that's why it will not be a lien or an encumbrance on the property. The loiv will be able to sell easily, and that's what the Chacham assumed. That's why there's a 6-year differential. Let's wait until this man, in other words, 2024-25, whenever the maturity date, and we will not allow for the malvah to be torei from lekuchos during that 6-year period. And that's what the Rabbanan thought. Rav Nachman, so it has to be Rava. Rava and Rav Nachman were basically contemporaries. So Rav Nachman, Hai Safra Davkona Kasve. This wasn't some sort of waiver of rights by the Malva, but rather the Soifa is writing because he's very, very medaktik and medayik. V'hanach Shichnin, to molchu bi elam, to anan loy chashvin en lehu, hu ka chashiv lei. Ubizmane kosvei. So now let's remember what we learned a little bit yesterday. If you remember yesterday, we were speaking during the shiur number of times that the sofrim in those days, when they wrote a get, or they wrote stam shtores, they wrote to the Malchus Yovan. Even though the Malchus Yovan and Shalangi Payit already was history, nevertheless they kept on writing Lizman Malchus Yovan, even post the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. Now, when was the Malchus Yovan? So according to the Cheshbonis that we're talking about yesterday in the Gemara, it was 380 years before the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. But if you remember, it wasn't exactly 380. So if we look back just for a moment to Tess Amud Aleph, at the very top of the Amud, the Gemara told us that during Bayisheni, there were four periods. First period was the Malchus Paras, when the Persians were in control. The second period was when the Yavan, the Greeks, were in control. Third was the Chashmenoim, Unzrayidin. And the fourth one was when Hordes HaRasha was in control. Okay, how did it add up to 420 years? So remember the Gemara said, Paras, Persians were 34. I'm just reading from Tess Amud Aleph, the Gemara we had yesterday. So Paras are 34. Yavan, the Greeks, were 180. So if we add 34 to 180, yesterday we had a cheshbon, it was 214. Shkoyachman. Let's leave 214 on the side for a moment. The next to Malchiasin, Malchus Chashmenoi, was 103, and Hordes was 103. So if you add 103 and 103 together, that adds up to roughly 206. Since we had 214, we add 206. 214 and 206 comes out to roughly 420. The second Beis Hamikdash stood for 420 years. Okay. Zayigit. Now, when did Malchus Yovan start vis-a-vis the Chorban Beis Hamikdash? So let's work backwards. We have 103 years Beis Hordus, 103 Beis Chashmenoi, that's 206. We add the Malchus Yovan is 180, that's 386. So Malchus Yovan started out 386 years before the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. Nevertheless, yesterday we said that when the Sofrim wrote their shtaris, they didn't write 386. They wrote to 380, meaning they only started counting the first year of the Beis Malchus Yovan 6 years after Yovan became the predominant Malchus. Because according to our Cheshbon, they were already the Malchus from 386. But we only start counting 6 years later, starting from the seventh year of their Malchus. Why was that? So we explained briefly yesterday that the reason is because the first 6 years of Yavin's Malchus, it wasn't the Malchus that took over the entire world. They only took over one region called Elam. That was for the first 6 years. Gradually, over that 6 year period, they became stronger and stronger and stronger until ultimately they took over everything. But it took 6 years for that to occur. Most of the Sofrim only deemed Malchus Yavin to be Choshuv after those 6 years were over. But for the first 6 years, that's Gunish. Yes, after Elam, Nuchash Teitel over there, another town over there, another village. Big deal. By the Litvakis, it was a big deal because they were the Melech over the Elam, the Ganze Elam. But according to the way we pronounce it, Elam was just a region. It wasn't the Ganze Elam. Later on, 6 years later, it was Taka Kola Elam Kule, Taka the Ganze Elam. So if we look at yesterday's Rashi, just for a short moment, Rashi kind of summarizes it quickly. It's Rashi and Tes Omer Aleph. If you go down to where it says Nishayle Lesafra Kama, it's about 20 lines in, about halfway down the Gemara. That's 15 lines before the wide lines down below. Nishayle Lesafra Kama, look Rashi. Lesoifra Koisa Vigitin Ushtarich, Shehu Moina Lamalchas Yavin, he counts even today, meaning even post Chorban Beis Hamikdash, he's still counting to the old Malchas Yavin. Kiryom Lekaman, like we're going to say, the Kaman, which means today, today's blood. In Golus, when they wrote out all the Shtaris, they wrote Malchus Yavin. However, they didn't start writing from the very, very beginning. They were Gehakti years. They weren't Gansi years. They only had the Malchus over a limited region called Elam. Pashto Malchusan! After 6 years, they became almighty over the Gansavelt. And therefore, they started counting from that period and on. They didn't count 386, they counted 380. Aha. Okay. So now, getting back to our Gemara today. It's now after Chorban Beis Hamikdash. It's 10 years post Chorban Beis Hamikdash. 10 years later. The regular Sofrim all wrote that this year is the 390th year to the Malchus Yavan. Why? Because Malchus Yavan b'miluai medigan tishleimus and alles started 380 years before the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. If it's now 10 years later after the Chorban, you could write in the Shtar it's 10 years since the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, or you can write it's 390th year since the Malchus Yavan began. But that's for the regular Sofer. This Sofer is a Sofer Davkon. He said, no, Rabbeisai, I'm counting from the very inception, from the very outset of the Malchus Yavan. And that wasn't 390, that was 396. Because it was 386 before the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. If you add 386 to the 34 years of Malchus Paras, 34 and 386 gets you to 420 altogether. So they started 386 years. Don't tell me Elam Hine, Elam Aher. This Sefer Dovkum. And therefore Rav Nachman says, even though it says in Nishtar a difference of 6 years, he's writing today's date. He's not doing a 6 year thing. There is no waiver by the Malva. The Malva is not doing any toivis to the Loive. Malva has all his rights. It's a normal, regular Shtar. The fact that there's a 6 year differential, that's only because he has a different method of counting, but it's exactly the same. So in all the other Shtaras say 380, and his Shtar says 386. We mean exactly the same date. This Sanya, Rabbi Yosi Omer, Sheish Shonem Molchu B'Elam, first Malchus Yavan was in Elam, the Achach, and 6 years later, Pashta Malchusim Mechol Olam Kulei, then it's, according to our Gemara, therefore, Rav Nachman is only saying this because there's a 6 year differential. What happens if there would be 3 years or 4 years or 5 years? In other words, everybody this year is writing in the Shtaris 380, and this guy writes 383 or 385. Then we would say Taka, like we said in the Gemara, that this is Shtar Mu'ucher and the Malbe has waived his rights. But if it says 386, not because of waiving rights. He's writing it Bedavka 6 years to go and show Rabbeisai, Malchus Yavin didn't start 380 years ago, it started 386 years ago. Yeah, what's up?
You just answered my question.
Good.
In the Chorban, it was 3-8 from the Malchus Yavan from the after the 6 years.
After
three,
6 years?
3-8, how much was it again from the 6 years?
After the 6 years are over,
yeah.
Then 380 years until, now how do we get to the 380? Because you have the last 206 years, right. 103, 103 right. to 06, and you have 180 altogether of Yavan, but we're taking off 6. So we only have 174. So if we add 174 and we add 206, let's see, 74 and 6 comes out to roughly 80, and then we had 100 and 200, then we get to 380 altogether.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh.
Fine. And it, you can work it, you know, to double check yourself. We have the 34 years of Paras, which was before that. The 380 plus 34 is 414, and then we have those 6 years of Elam, which we took off.
420.
So now it becomes 420. It's good.
Is the years of Yovan, is that supposed to parallel the Empire of Alexander the Great? Which
precede
the
Hashmonaim? I don't know when Alexander started off. I just know that they were in charge for 380 or 386, depending if you're talking about Elam or the ganze Welt, the ganze Elam. Anyway, Maskel Rav Acha Bar Yankov. How do you know that even though it says in the Shtaris the date of 380 Lamashal, which would be the year of the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, or let's talk about, for instance, 100 years after the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. Unfortunately, Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Fast forward 100 years. What are all of the Sofrim writing in the Ashtaris? It's the year 480. Apparently, they didn't even write in Malchus Yovan. That was self-understood. Just like today, if you would write in the Ashtar of English 2018, you don't have to say 2018 Anto Dominio, Anno Dominio, whatever it is, or CE, Common Era. Or if you're writing Lehavdil Lebrius Olam, you don't have to write in 5778. Everybody knows 5778, it means Lebrius Olam, that's automatic. So apparently when it came to the Malchus Yovan, also everybody knew that the Sofrim all count to Malchus Yovan. So if it's 100 years after the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, they would write in 480. Period. What's 480? Oh, of course, me off. Of course, I know you have 480. Aha. And this person, of course, in our case, gave 486 because he started from the original. Good. Freitimar, who says? Maybe Dilmun Limitius Mitzrayim Anina. Vishav Kili Alpha Kama Vinokti Alpha Basra Behaim Ucharhu. Maybe this whole Malchus Yovan is something that you just dreamed up. Meaning, maybe in true, when they are in truth, when they are writing this Torah, when they write 380 or 390 or 480, they're not referring to Yavin. Oh, Yavin to Gandred. We're talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's the real date. But isn't that much, much earlier? Of course it's much earlier. But it's exactly 1,000 years earlier. How does that work out? How's 1,000 years? So let's do a quick chazor of what we learned yesterday. You remember that Avraham Avinu was born in year 1948. Not common era 1948, but 1948 Lebrisa. Good. When was Matan Torah? Exactly 500 years later. How do I get 500 years? Because Avraham gave birth, or Sarah gave birth to Yitzchak 100 years later, right? After Avraham was 100 years old. Everybody agrees?
Yeah.
Good. So now that's 100 years. And from the time that Yitzchak was born until Yetzias Mitzrayim was exactly 400 years. So 400 and 100 or 100 and 400 comes out to roughly 500. So if we add 500 to 1948, that gets us to 2448. Right? That was Yetzias Mitzrayim as well as Matan Torah, because Matan Torah was only 7 weeks later. Excellent. Good. 2448. Right? You must give 2448. Good. Now the question is, when was the first Beis HaMikdash built? So we were all kratzing our cup and remembering, a pasuk in Malachim. And Rashi quoted the pasuk in Malachim back on the Daf Amud Aleph, roughly 12 lines from the bottom of the Amud in the Rashi, yesterday's test Amud Aleph. You'll see in the parentheses it says Mem Aleph, which stands for Malachim Aleph, Kapitel Vav. Vayi b'shmoyni mishana v'arba me'yoshana. How much is that? 480. Let's say it's been Israel in the Eretz Mitzrayim. What happened? Even Shloimeh Abayis. So we have now 480 years since Yetzias Mitzrayim, since Matan Torah, until the Bayis HaRishon. 480 years. Good. How many years did it take from the Binyan Bayis HaRishon until the Chorban Bayis Sheni? 900 years. How do you get to 900?
410, 420 plus 70.
Perfect. You see, can I know it? First base of Israel is 410 years. Second base of Israel is 420. 410 plus 420 comes out to roughly 830. In between, there was 70 years. Is it Uri? Therefore, together with Brother Shai and Uri, everybody agrees we have altogether 900 years.
Very close to yesterday.
Well, but you all know it from your own. Good. That's Bokshem, we remember everything. So it's 900 years. Now that's 900 years from the beginning of the Binyan HaBayis. But the Chorban Beis Hamikdash vis-a-vis Yetzias Mitzrayim or Matan Torah, you have to add to that an additional 480, the 480 that we just quoted in this pasuk, right? So how much is 480 plus 900?
1380.
How many years was it from Matan Torah or Yetzias Mitzrayim till Chorban Beis HaMikdash? 1380. How many years was it from Malchus Yavon until Chorban Beis HaMikdash?
Three eighty.
So what's the difference between 1380 and 380? Exactly, approximately 1,000 years. Everybody agrees?
Yeah.
1380 and 380. Freit the Gemara. Who says that when they write in their shtaris, year, Lamoshel, 100 years after the Chorban HaBayis, the Sofrim are writing year 480. Who says that 480 means 480 to the Malchus Yavon minus Elam? Maybe it's talking to 1480 and it's going all the way back to Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. So you're going to say, how can you leave out the thousands? When you write Shtoris today,
right,
and you write the exactly, and you write the Bria Se'olam,
we just write Tavshin. We don't write
Ayin Ches. Exactly right. Which, of course, is 778. What happened to 5,000? Everybody knows 5,000. You don't have to write 5. Doesn't everybody know 5,000? So that's why we leave it out. Apparently, the same thing was at that time, too. They only wrote 480, even though it was 1480. So what does this difference do to me? Come on, this is whole history. Who cares?
The whole 6-year thing makes a difference.
The whole 6-year thing. If you tell me it's Alt Malchus Yavon, then you can talk about regular Sofrim, and you can talk about these great historian Dafka Nikas Sofrim, that I don't want to talk about 380. 386. I know the whole Josephus by heart, and I can tell you exactly it was 386 and not 380. So you can say that the 6 years is not Ishtar Me'ucher, it's rather Davkonis, that the person be really medactic in adding the 6 year Elam business. But if you're telling me it's from Matan Torah or from Yetzias Mitzrayim, then the 6 years is Leimalav Leimarid, because it's exactly 1380, it's not 1386. And therefore, the reason why they changed the 6 is because he wanted to make it Ishtar Me'ucher after all. And those in the Gemara is Kasha, and keep Gemara Nochamot. Maskel Rabacha, Rabbi Yankel. Mimai the Malchus Yavon Manin. And who says that the 380 plus that we're counting nowadays post Chorban is because of Malchus Yavon? Doing Yetzias Mitzrayim Manin. We're going all the way back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mishavke the Alpha Kama. Where's the thousand? We left it out. Venak the Alpha Basa. We only continue with the later thousands, meaning because we're already into 4,000 years since the Brias Oilam. So we leave out that thousand, we all know it. Mahim Ocharun really to Shtar Ma'ochar. So if you look at the top Toises, it says Toises Mikan Yeshla Hachshir Shtar Shedileg by Hasoifel Brias Oilam, Vafilu Dilego Alofim Vameois, Rashi Kosa Bekafa Kachla Prat. That would also be acceptable. What Toises says is, if you look in a Shtar today, I get a Ksuba, and they left out the words Brias Oilam, they only wrote in 5, 7, 7, 8. Kosher. Not only that, even if they left out the 5, they only wrote 7, 7, 8. Kosher. Even if they left out the 7, they wrote 78 is kosher. These are two choices. Mikan yesh lahachshir shtar shedileg bo yasoifer. He left out the words bria soilam. Nafil ledileg bo alofim. Even if he left out the 5,000, which we all always leave out, we write this tafshin ayin ches. V'hameis, even if he left out the tafshin, and he just left in the ayin ches. Rak shekosim bekach vekach leprat. He only gave the two numbers, the tens, in our case 78. Shehari bin Yemeyim, or Yukoysin Lamalchus Yavon, Vasoifer Dilgoy, Diaviksiv, Bishtar Behedya Lamalchus Yavon. If we would say, Befeirish, this is the 380th or the 480th year to Malchus Yavonim, may have a Ka'amar, the Gemara wouldn't be asking questions, Vilmi Yitzias Mitzrayim, and we left out the 1,000, we added 1,000, left out the 1,000, come on, Tima Toivim, it says Malchus Yavon means Malchus Yavon. Is a Harai, they left out Malchus Yavonim, is a Harai, they left out the thousands, and therefore, if you have a Shtar today, and it doesn't say the Bria Soilim, and it doesn't say the 5,000, it doesn't even say the 700, Alts is good, and Violin fine, it's fine.
They should have been the Choyev today, right after
the whole thing. Enough committed, for Ksuba today.
Right, exactly.
Now they do, now they
do. Of course they do.
They should have said, they have to write out as many words as possible, because we want that the one that gets the keyboard to have as many words.
You could understand it, but to read out the numbers and say,
we leave out the 5,000.
It was too difficult to write the extra.
The 5,000 you can leave out, right?
But you should.
Tavshinayim Ches. We don't write the hey Tavshinayim Ches. We just write Tavshinayim Ches. You think we should write it in?
No, they should have written this whole Shiloh.
Should we?
tough. 5,000. Okay, that would be a tough call, man.
The reality is, now Sofan will be keen, but not everybody
can write Hamisha Salafim. Who's up there?
People couldn't go and get trained. People couldn't get trained.
He could train to write out the whole star, but he couldn't get trained to write out
two. You'd be surprised. go write the check. I had a check. I just refinanced my house. I got a check yesterday morning, overnight express. It wasn't signed. I was furious. I called them and said, well, you're ridiculous. Oh, well, overnight again. I said, no way. I said, they weren't me the money yesterday. I was furious. It was.
Heverman.
Anyway,
if I'm not mistaken, I haven't looked at the Nusach HaKsuba recently, but I think they do write Chamisha Salafim, Shema Amiyos, and then you fill in the blank, the Lebris item. I think they do write the whole thing, but Toys says, but if you didn't have that, would also be Kusha, Halukha Lamaisa, Kikin Shukharach. But getting back to our Gemara, it's clear, says Toys from our Gemara, they didn't write Malchus Yvonim, and they didn't write Brias Oilam, they didn't write Yitzias Mitzrayim, otherwise, what's the Gemara's discussion? So obviously, they left it out, and they just put in the hundreds of years, 380 or 390 or 490 or whatever it was. And therefore, the Gemara class, maybe it's 1490 and not 490, because maybe it's 1,000 years earlier. We're talking it's Yisrael time. It's right, the Gemara Bezoi behind Me'ucharu. And the fact that this Sofer wrote 6 more years in Simon's Takashtar Me'uchar, and having nothing to do with Elam and the Gan Zechezben for before. Amr of Nachman, remember, of Nachman was.
The 1,000 is just, it doesn't include Elam.
Correct, there's no relevance. Elam has no relevance.
Right, so it's just. Right.
With Elam would be 386, without Elam it's 380.
Right.
And all the way from Tiers with time, it's 1380.
Right.
So it's a 1,000 year difference. So if Dishtar says 6 years more.
He's on the program, but he's just.
Exactly. Anyway, so Freit Dimori, it's maybe Takashtar Me'uchar after all. Remember, Rav Nachman says, no, that's a Safra Dakona. So Dimori is now attacking or challenging Rav Nachman. Maybe it's not a Safra Dakona. Maybe it's a 6 year waiver. It's a Shtar Me'uchar because it's written from Yitzis Mitzrayim and not from Malchus Yavon. Rav Nachman, Begoyle Ein Moin Ele Malchus Yavon Bilvanu. And Golus outside of Eretz Yisrael, they only wrote Malchus Yavon. They didn't write Brias Ha'olam. They didn't write Matan Torah. They didn't write Yitzias Mitzrayim. They didn't write Korban Beis Hamikdash. They wrote Malchus Yavon. Sovar, this man the Omer who asked this kasha, this was Rav Acha Bar Yankif, who asked this kasha to Rav Nachman. So the Chuyik Matchle is just pushing him off. He's not really giving him solid territory. However, not Bofak Dak Vyashkat. He did his due diligence. And the sign you learned in the Braisa, but Goyla Ein Moin Ela Malchis Yavon Mulvon. Oh, Takas Rishtay in the Braisa. This is not Rav Nachman. This is an Alta Braisa years before. That when you write your Shtaris, write in Malchi Yavon, don't write in Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ravinim. Masis and Amideka bring a right from our Mishnah in Mesechtis Rosh Hashanah, the very first Mishnah. Everybody knows this Mishnah. Titnan, Arba Rosh Hashanah, one of them is Becha Benisan Rosh Hashanah Limlochem Velerig Golem. Now, the question is, what does that mean, Rosh Hashanah Limlochem? Vermin Limlochem Lamai Hilchasa, Vosifer Anaf Gimina Limlochem, Omrav Chizel Lishtarais. That if you're writing a star for any particular king, you're writing for King Louis, you're writing for King Ferdinand, whoever the king happens to be, when it hits Chodesh Nissan, Rosh Chodesh Nissan, it's already the second year Lemalchusoi. So if he became Melech in January, and now it's Nissan, which is March, April, now it's already the second year of his Malchus, because that's the Nafkimina B'Echa Benisan, you now turn the page on your calendar to the next year. However, Tanam, but in the same Mishnah, it says, B'Echa B'Tishra, Rosh Hashanah, L'Shonim, V'L'Shmeitim, V'Yomrin, we ask L'Shonim, L'Mai Hilchasa. What do you mean, L'Shonim? V'Yom Rav Chizil, L'Shtarois. That when you write a Shtar, when it comes Tishrei, you change the calendar page. Is Kash Shtarei Sahadodi? It's the Chassid. You're telling me Nisan is the day that you change the calendar? You're telling me Tishrei is when you change? Make up your mind. Umeshanina, what's it tell us? Kalim Malchi Yisrael, Kalim Malchi Yisrael. It depends if you're in Eretz Yisrael and you're counting too. David and Melech, Shloim and Melech, or the Malchi Yisrael. Or if you're talking the Malchi Yisrael, like the Malchus Yavon. The Malchi Yisrael, may Tishrei Meninon, you count from Tishrei. The Malchi Yisrael, may Nissan Meninon, you count from Nissan. Why by Malchi Yisrael do you count from Nissan? Because we learned in last week, Sedra. Ha Chodesh Hazeh Lochem, Rosh Chodashim. This is the first month of the year. And therefore it comes for Yidin, for Malchi Yisrael, even though he was only Melech in Adar, that was his first month, his first year of his Malchus, Rosh Chodesh Nissan occurs, boom, he's already into his second year of Malchus. The Chuvas Chasam Sofer writes, that you see a lot of people when they're writing checks or they're writing dates, they go and write, for instance, now January 1, and today I think is the 25th, if I'm not mistaken, so they write 1 and slash 25 and slash 18. He says that's improper, because by Yidden, the first month of the year is Nisan, and therefore you should write out the whole word January 25, as opposed to just 1. 25. Today it's a little bit more difficult on the government forms when you have to fill them out on the computer, but if you can write it out, says Chassam Sofer, you're supposed to write out the whole name and not write one.
Because a problem, because we live in Sechas Avodah Zarah, a lot of these months are named for Avodah Zarah.
So write J-A-N, period. But don't go and write Avodah Zarah, and you shouldn't write what?
Sunday is also
Anyway, there are a lot of people, by the way, that are makbid on this. This is not just Tshuva, this is a lot of people are makbid. But getting back to our Gemara now, Zok the Gemara, so if that's the case, that from that Mishnah I learned that if you're being moiner from Malchi Yisrael, it's minisamaninan vanan hashdan. All the sofrim today, when they are writing out the shtaris, mitishrei maninan. Whenever it comes Tishrei, they always add 1 year. Just of course, like we do it on the Jewish calendar, that the first day of Tishrei we started counting Tavshin Ayin Ches as opposed to Tavshin Ayin Zayin. If you're going to tell me like the Gemara asked Rav Acha Bar Yankef asked to Rav Nachman, maybe we're counting all the way from Yetzias Mitzrayim. Well, everybody knows Yetzias Mitzrayim took place in Nisan and not in Tishrei. So Bazoi Menisan Ba'inan Lamimni. Every year after that, we should say this is the first year from Yetzias Mitzrayim, second year Yetzias Mitzrayim. That would be a Nisan occurrence and not a Tishrei occurrence. But we all count from Tishrei. Elav Shemamia is a crystal clear. The Malchi Yavon Meninan, that all of our stories are written the Malchi Yavon Shma Mina. Now, of course, most of you haven't seen a recent shtar written L'malchi Yovan. So there's a Toisus, I believe, in Psachim, if I'm not mistaken, maybe Sivomus, where Toisus says over there that was all the times of Chazal, because the Malchusim, the governments, were very, very makbid, that not to go and trifle with their years of royalty, and therefore you better write to that Malchus. However, nowadays, says Toisus, the government could care less what you write in your shtaris if you write to the Malchi Trump, to the Malchi Eshev Trump, maybe Takamakbin a couple of years from now. But at least until now, that hasn't been an executive order yet. Wait, you never know. But otherwise, they don't really care.
They don't write 70 years of Queen Elizabeth or something? They don't know.
I couldn't tell you what happens in England. I can only tell you what happens in America. So the Toisus makes a difference. You write, he said, that's why today the meaning is to write the Bria Sa'olam, because the Malchusim today are not Makbid, they could care less. And the main reason why we write this whole Malchus business is because of Shalom Malchus, so we should be on good terms with the authorities. But today, nobody cares. Right. We go back to our Mishnah, and from here things started getting a little bit lightening up compared to the Gemara that we had yesterday with all the arithmetic cheshbonos. And the Mishnah said back on Daf Chesam Aleph, what are the idein shloim chum kalamda mat satanura tatisim and the genusio shel malcheihem? What does yom genusio mean? Frank, you my yom genusio shel malcheihem. Amr Yehuda yom shemamidim by ed chum. Es Malka. That's the day when the Goyim would coronate their king. And if they considered the king to be a big, big, big thing, and assuming that the king thought himself as being a big thing, which is not too hard to imagine, so every single year after that, that became a national holiday, the anniversary of the coronation, and they added a religious element to it, that the Melech and everybody else had to go into the local Tumis, they had to go and thank their God for giving them such a wonderful, wonderful Melech, and they brought Kabonis, Takroidis, Avodah Zarah, and therefore that's the Taich of Yom Genusia, the day and the anniversary of the coronation of the king. Frank Timur Batani, we learned in a Braisa. Yom Genusia. The Yom Shemaimina by Es Malka. So we see these are two different in Yanam. They're not the same. Otherwise, it would be repetitive. The day Hodibrei. We're talking about that one of them, L'mashal, the Yom Genusia, is talking about when the king had his coronation. Yom Shemaimina by Es Malka is referring to when the king's son had his coronation. And as we'll see in the Gemara a little bit further down, that sometimes the old king was still around and he was himself participating in the coronation of the new king. But you don't have to say that. It could just simply be if you had Melech ben Melech, that the son would say, besides celebrating my own coronation, let's all just celebrate the coronation of my daddy, my father, who is the great leader, and da da da. So therefore this would continue on at least through to Malchus. So, the Yomar of the Kasha, the day Hodebrei. Pray to Mon, me, Malka by Malka. in the Roman Empire, since all of these things that we're talking about are Roy, are you telling me that they were Mam and Melech ben Melech? For Tani Rav Yosef, we have a Pusik, Hine Kotoy Nisaticha Bagoyim, Shein Moshim Melech ben Melech, Bozi Atmiyoy, Shein Lehem Leksav Lo Yoshin. The Pusik is trying to denigrate the covet of the Holy Roman Empire, the Holy Roman Empire, and it's telling us that really it's the small Roman Empire. Hine Kotoy Nisaticha Bagoyim, you are considered to be insignificant among the nations, you are a source of shame and embarrassment. Now what means katim in the Satich Magoyim? Shem Hashiv and Melech ben Melech, that there was no automatic succession right of king, son of king. Presumably it was more of a democratic situation, and that the Gemara considers to be not such a godless. A godless is to show the authority of a king, that he and his malucha continue on, he and his children, his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, they continue, that would show godless. The fact that there's a constant succession of new people is a simon of shvach, it's weak. How is there a bizarre? They don't have their own ksav and their own lashon, but rather the Romans had to go and borrow a little from this language, a little from that language, and they pushed it and merged it all together, consolidated and made their own language, but it's not their own language from scratch, it's borrowed from other umaysa'i. Okay, anyway, but what do I see from this? There is no such thing as Melech ben Melech, and you just told me you're in Genusia, and the Yoim Shema Midim by Melech means father and son. Ella said, you're right. Nupshat. Elamai Yoim Genusia Yoim Aleinim. It means the birthday. On the birthday of the king is also Agam Tziyonta Vegam Tzachoga. Freitim of Atanya, we have another price. Yoim Genusia, the Yoim Aleinim. Oh, so it says Befeirish, Yoim Genusia and Yoim Aleinim. These are two separate things. It will be repetitive, and repetitious, and duplicative, and redundant. Again, the same terrace. Yom Genusia means the daddy's birthday. Yom Lady means the son's birthday. But have a Vesha Braisa. This Braisa is as express as you can have it. Yom Genusia Shaloi is Ayontiv. Yom Genusia Shalbanoi is Ayontiv. Yom Lady Shaloi. Yom Lady Shalbanoi. We've covered everything. So what is Yom Genusia? It can't be his. It can't be the son's. Everything is expressly and explicitly stated. We go back to the old terms. Yom Genusia Yom Shemitah by Malkom, the day that they make the coronation of the king. For my kash. Ah, you asked me, but it already says Yom Genusia vi Yom Shemitah by Malkom. Hodi day, hodi bray. His day of coronation. And the son's day of coronation. Aye, you just asked a moment ago. Vikash lach dole mukmi malka bar malka, because of this pasuk, hine kotin nisaticha. Says the Gemara al yidei she'eila mukmi. Meaning, there was no automatic succession of son to father. However, if the father really wanted his son to go and succeed him, he would go and ask the Chashuvei Roini, presumably the Roman Senate. He would go and ask them for a vote. He would go into the Roman Senate. I have the following proposal. You know what a great king I've been. My son is the Hajem. Ah, Givaldik, I want you to go and vote that he should be my successor. And at times they agreed to the request. Kigoin, Asviris bar Antoninus de Molach. Antoninus was the prior Caesar, the prior king. As we'll see in the Gemara in the Amud Beis, and everybody knows from Rashi and Chumash, Antoninus and Rebbe were very, very close to one another. We'll see Mitzvah shortly. And Antoninus, who was the king of the Roman Empire, he wanted his son Asvirus to take over. And in fact, he asked the She'ela, he asked the Senate, could you permit that? And they approved it. And Asvirus took over. Malachi became the next king. And now from here, from this homily, to the end of the Amud Beis, we're going to have extensive discussions between Antoninus and Rebbe. Initially, we're going to see that some of the contacts and discussions were in code language, and we'll see in a moment why. So says Igmar, homily Antoninus to Rebbe. Antoninus said to Rebbe, Be'inat yimlech Asvirus b'ri techusi. I want my son Asvirus to succeed me. And I also wanted to s'abit t'veria kalanya. I want Tveria, which is a city full of Talmidei Chachamim, to get exemption from all taxes. Now, I intend going to the Senate and proposing these proposals. The problem is, says Antoninus to Rebbe, the Aminuluhu Chada, if I'm going to go and say one request of these two, Avdi, one request they will approve. Trei Lo Avdi, they're not going to approve of both. So, Rebbe, I ask you, which one of the requests should I posit before the Senate? Now, you would think the Rebbe would say, Avada, ask for the exemption for Tveria. Tveria has all the Talmidei Chachamim. Instead, Rebbe answered. He didn't answer him bepem mole. He answered him through a code, if you will. The reason why he didn't answer him bepem mole, we'll see on the Amud Beis, because there were a lot of snitches around, and Rebbe was concerned that if he gave advice to the king in governmental matters, that afterwards they would be mitzayer, they would come and persecute Rebbe. So therefore he had to go in such a way with a mashal as opposed to spelling it out. So what did he tell him? I see Gavra Arkvei Achavrei. Rebbe went and brought two people, and he had one of them standing or sitting piggyback on the person below him. One down below and one above. The Ovli Yoinali Loi Biyode. And he handed over a dove to the upper one who's standing on top of the lower guy. The Amalei, and now Rebbe says L'tasa to the lower fellow, Eimele Eila, why don't you go and tell the guy on top of you, to the Mifrach Min Yodi Yoinu. He should now release the dove from his hands, so the dove should fly away freely. That's what happened. Now, Antoninus is supposed to understand what Rebbe is trying to communicate. Omar, so Antoninus, who was very smart, Shema Mino, he said, Hochik Amalei, I see what he's telling me. At Boy Minayu, what you should do is go to the Senate and ask them the Asvirus Beri Yimlech Techusi, only ask for that request, that Asvirus should be the next successor, the next king. After they accept that, and he becomes the next king, the Amalei Asvirus, then ask Asvirus the Tavitz Veriakalanya, that he should go and ask the Senate on his own new proposal. In other words, if each king is only entitled to one request, you request Asvirus should be the king, Asvirus will be accepted and authorized as the new king, and he will then go and ask for the freedom and exemption of taxation in Tveri. So that's why you had the one person on top of the two people, explains Rashi, meaning that the son is the upper person, have him being on top, by having him elected as the new king, and then you down below, meaning the father, Antoninus, you ask your father, your son, Asvirus, on top of you, go and release the dove, meaning go and release the taxes on the Jewish people, on the Tamid Echam, and as we know, the Jewish people are compared to a Yoina in Shir HaShirim, Yenosi, Tamasi, Rayosi, etc. Amalei. So now there was a second incident where Antoninus said to Rebbe, the Groisa senators, they're causing me all types of tzaris and all types of persecution. Every time I open my mouth, they go and criticize me, they condemn me, and they call me all types of names. And I'm afraid for my life that things are going to get violent and they're going to kill me. So what did Rebbe say to Antoninus? He didn't say anything, but every day he would take him into his garden, and he would pull out one radish from the garden. Only one radish. And he did this on a daily basis for 2, 3, 4, 5 days. Omar asked, Antoninus caught on. He said, Shema mina hochik amalei, I know what he's telling me. At ketoil chad chad minayu. Go and kill one senator, one of these chashubi remoi, kill one a day. But don't go and try to attack all of them at one time, because then there'll be a massive rebellion and you won't be able to succeed. But if you go and pick one a day, then you'll be able to succeed in your plan. Why did he go and tell him directly, explicitly, what's the ganze code? Omar, because he said, I'm afraid that just like the giving tzar, they are causing persecution and tzaris for the king Antoninus. They might go and now divert that to me and chas v'shalom kill me. So therefore, he told him mitazah kot. Thank you, Malay Malay Balachash. Why didn't he go and kill it with a whisper, just very quietly? So tomorrow, Mishum Dechsev Koyf Yeshamayim Yolich Es Hakoyf. So if you think that any emails or voicemails are ever deleted permanently, there are always some record somewhere. The FBI will find it, the CIA will find it, or a reporter will find it, or it's fake news, but somehow they're going to unearth it, and therefore anything in Balachash will eventually be recorded and be found out and reported. So tomorrow, a new story. Havlehu. Now we're going to have a whole bunch of interesting incidents and masses. Havlehu Brata. Antoninus had a daughter, Dishmo Gira. Her name was Gira. That was her name. Of the Isur, unfortunately, she was over on a big Isur. Whenever the Gemara uses the term Isur or Aveira without any clarification, it usually means a Masis Nus, which is in fact what Rashi says of the Surah Zonsa. She was Mazan. Antoninus was very embarrassed by the whole thing and wanted to know, what should I do with my daughter? Shodalei Gargira. So he sent a message to Rebbe by sending him a Gargira. What's a Gargira? Rashi says it's Esev Sheshmoi Gargira. It was some sort of plant, some sort of grass, some sort of vegetation called Gargir. He sent that to Rebbe. Why did he send that to Rebbe? Explains Rashi. Number one, his daughter's name is Gira. And number two, because the word Gira is also Nigreris. Nigreris means she's dragged or fashlept by the Yetzer Hara to do a Maaseh Znus. Segar Gira, she's Nigrar, my daughter Gira, to do a Maaseh Aveira. Rebbe understood the hint. Shodalein, he sent back instead a Kuzbarta. What's a Kuzbarta? Some other, here from Rashi's Mashup, some sort of coriander seed or something, some sort of other vegetable to go and have as a response. Now, what does Kuzbarta mean? The word Kus in Aramaic means to shecht, to kill. Barta is brata. And therefore, Kuzbarta, you should go and shecht your daughter. If she was Mizana, you know, she should get the death penalty. Shogalei, he sent back crazy. Crazy is again a form of vegetable of some sort. And what's the problem with crazy? Crazy, he's saying, is unfortunately I only have one daughter. Apparently this was before Asvirus was born, because Asvirus was another child. And Rashi says that if you're going to kill my daughter, I'm not going to have any descendants. I'm not going to have any offspring. She's my only daughter. Bazoi, he sent back Sholach Lechasi, he sent some romaine lettuce. Roman, yeah. Chasa, we know, is one of the things that we eat on Pesach. And the Gemara says in Sechel Tzachim, why is it called Chasa? Shechasa Kodesh Baruch Hu al Pri Yosef. Shechasa from a lashon of having Rachmanis. If that's your only daughter, have Rachmanis and don't kill her after all. Period. Nushtik. Kol Yom, every single day, Atuninus have a Shodalei, he would send a present to Rebbe to have a Pricha. To have a Pricha means pieces of gold which fell apart, like if you were to go to a goldsmith after he molds some beautiful artistic bowl of some sort, there would be little pieces of gold left on the side that he had to go and carve off or chisel off or what have you. So those small pieces of gold, if you take them all together, that could be worth a nice fortune. So you put together Dava Pricha b'matrasa. B'matrasa means in a nice large, Rashi says, sack godoil of oil. This is a leathern sack. Big leathern sack full of gold. But chita pumai, at the very top, there were chitim, there was wheat. It's omelahu. And now Antoninus said to his servants, Amtiyu chiti l'rabbi. Do me a favor, Rebbe and his household need some wheat. Take over this big, heavy sack full of wheat. And they would open up the sack and they say, oh, take this wheat here. But of course, underneath the wheat, there was all of this gold. Omelay, Rebbe. So Rebbe sent back a message to Antoninus, Shkoyech, b'loy tzarichna. Isli to Baruch Hashem, I have more than I need. After all, Rebbe was he was very wealthy, he was a Nasi of Klai, so had plenty of wealth. I don't need. Santinina said, Rebbe, I know you have enough, but I know what's going to happen in future generations. Future generations, my Enikloch, meaning the new kings and new Caesars of the Roman Empire, they're going to go and assess greater and greater taxes on the Jewish people. Where are you going to get that money from? I'm giving you now already money in escrow that you should be able to go and pay off the debts and the taxes in years to come. And therefore we told them, Lehevi, let these pieces of gold be Laman de Basroch, for those that are beyond you, meaning to your children, they have the basroi, and they will give it to their children, in other words, Rebbe's grandchildren. The osu basroch, the osu minayu, eventually when these heavy taxes come onto the Jewish people and onto the base Rebbe, then your children, grandchildren, nefekalai, they'll be able to take out this gold and pay off the taxes to my kids, my grandchildren. Havli hayit nakrosa, there was a tunnel to have an idol mi beis le beis Rebbe that extended from the house of Antoninus to the house of Rebbe. Kol yoyma have a maisi trei avi. He, Antoninus, when he went through this tunnel, he had to go with two servants. As I say, pastors for the melech. Chad caught the above of the beis Rebbe. When they got to the beis Rebbe, he killed one of the two. Presumably the other one didn't see the maisa hariga, otherwise he'd have kind of been noivous. Apparently he told him, you sit in the anteroom. And he went and killed one of them above the Beit Rebbe before they entered the house of Rebbe. And then when he left the Beit Rebbe, he went home back to the Beit Antoninus, v'chad got the above of the Beit, and before he came home, he killed the other one on the Pesach of his bias. Now this sounds like he was a very cruel individual. However, the Tosis is right next to our Gemara, about two or three lines higher. Tosis says that a couple of answers, how could he stop and kill these people? So Tosis, he took the criminal elements in society. These were not two nice, idler servants, but these were two criminals who deserved Misa. And therefore these are the two guys he would go and take every single day. And this was a good way of diminishing and reducing the criminal population in the prisons, so we didn't have to go and pay for them for the next 150 years. Anyway, so two guys every day. Omele, now Antoninus was very, very nervous that word would get back to the Senate and to the reporters, the media, about the fact that he keeps a meeting with Rebbe. And therefore he said, in the Dasina, when I come, lo nishkach kaba kamach, I don't want anybody else to be there, just the two of us. Yom echad, one day, ash chile b'chinin bar chomad, havi yosef. One day he comes into Rebbe and Rebbe Chanina Bar Chama is sitting there. Omar, he got very agitated. Didn't I tell you, Rebbe, I don't want anybody to be here. Rebbe said, this is a malach. This person that you're looking at, this is a malach, and therefore this doesn't come to your category of Leinishkach Gvar Kamach, a malach. So now, Antoninus wanted to take a test whether Reb Chanina was taka on the madrega of a malach. It's omele. So he said to Reb Chanina, do me a favor. Leimele lehu avda degoni abava. Go outside the gate, and you'll see that there's my Eved who's sleeping there. Dekoyim v'leisi, wake him up and bring him in. Of course, he wasn't sleeping. He was dead because he killed him just a few minutes earlier. But he acted as if he's sleeping. Go and wake him up. Okay. Or the Chanina bar Choma, Ashchei went and found Tavikot. He was taka dead. Omar, he said, hey, Chiyav, what should I do now? If I come back and say the kotel that somebody killed him and he's dead, we have a rule that a shliach that goes b'shlichusa, he shouldn't come back and report bad news. And therefore, I don't want to go back and tell him that your Eved is dead. Should I go and just leave the scene? Here the Melech has asked me to do ABC, and I ignore it and I run away. What do you think he did? The logical thing. Boy Rachmile, so he was mispouted with Baruch Biachia, and he was Machai Mesim to that criminal Eved that had just been killed a few minutes earlier, the Shadre, and he sent it back in to Antoninus. Antoninus said, oh, my test worked. The guy is Tak Malach. He was Machai Mesim.
And he killed him.
Well, that doesn't say, but presumably. Omar, so now said Antoninus to Rebbe, Yadana Zuti de Ispachu Machai Mesim. I see crystal clearly that even the small Talmidim, presumably, Reb Chanina Bar Choma was not the Talmid, it was maybe the second row of Talmidim of Rebbe. I agree and I believe that even the small Talmidim of yours, Rebbe, can be Mechai Mason. But nevertheless, Mil, the Inna Dasina, when I come in, Leinishkach Edish Kamach, even Afilis Azamba Mechinis Malach, please, I want this to be just the two of us and nobody else. Says Yimor Baita, Kol Yom Mishamish LeRabbi. Every single day, Antoninus would come and act as a waiter to Rebbe.
Wow.
What does that mean? Machale, he would prepare his food, he'd be the waiter, he'd give him to eat. Mashkale, he'd be the butler, he would pour him to drink. But it's more than that.
How do you prepare the food? Bishalakam.
There was a kosher waiter, Mitash Gucha, Rabbi Cohen was there with his mashkicha.
There's nobody else there, it can't be.
In the kitchen, they had more people.
Okay.
So says Yimor, you have a boy.
Yeah, turn on the fire.
When Rebbe wanted to go into his bed. Now, bed could mean he went to want to go to sleep, and it also the puya could also mean that by the table, because we know from Paisa,
they had a seba,
they're leaning, and like in a bed. Anyway, so he wanted to go up in his bed, and the bed was not level, he had to go and climb up a step. He, Antoninus, would bend down on his hands and knees, and he would act as a human step stool for Rebbe to ascend onto the bed. Amalei, and he would tell him, Sak ilavi lepuriach, please, walk on top of me, climb on top of me to go into your bed. Amar, so Rebbe said, Lav oirech ar lezui machusa kuli hai. Memele, that you wait on me, give me the food and the drink, no, but that I should go and step on you. Pasnish, b'stach hamelech. Amar, and Antoninus said it with great humility, Mi yisimeini mata tachtecha l'oilam haba, halavai I should have the schus to be the rug underneath you when the Olam Haba comes, that you should be stepping and treading on top of me. That's how Antoninus looked upon Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Amalei. And now Antoninus asked Rebbe, tell me, Asinu Le'amid Asi, will I have a portion in the world to come? Amalei, he told him, and yes, you will have a portion. Amalei, but is it possible? The Beis Esav will have no remainder, nobody remaining, meaning that they will not go into Olam Haba, but rather they'll all go to the G room, not the Gan Eden room, but that's the other room, all just starting with a G or with a Gimel, and none of us will ever be left. So how are you telling me that I'm going to have a Chedek Olam Haba? You're talking that's from Oysa Masa Esav. When it talks about Beis Esav, it's talking about only if you continue to perpetuate the Masa of Esav. But an Erlich guy like Antoninus, who's so Erlich, he gives so much Kavod HaTorah to Rabbi, no problem, you'll have a Chedek Olam Haba. Tanya Mihalchi, Takarai, from the Beis Esav, the Beis Esav, Yochel HaKoyla, we think all the Beis Esav, Tamaloyma, the Beis Esav, be Oysa Masa Esav, only if he does the Masa of Esav. And you don't, so you're going to get a Chedek. Shama means there in Gehenim. Edoim, the gun to Malchus Edom, Melacher, the Alamaluchim, the Chonasian, all of the Nesiim, all of them in Gehenim. Amalei said, no, be Medai clearly. It doesn't say Kol Malcher. It says Melacher, Veloi Kol Melacher. Kol Nesieha, Veloi Kol Sareha. The Nesiim Yah, but not the Sarim, and not all the Malachim. Tanami Hachi, Tak, we have a Braisa. Melacher, Veloi Kol Melacher. Kol Nesieha, Veloi Kol Sareha. What does that mean? Malachah v'loy kol malachah. Prat Antoninus ben Asmirus. Antoninus gets an exemption. He will not be the shama. He will not go to Ganim. He's going to have a chedek olam haba. And kol nesiyah v'loy kol sereh. Prat leketiyah bar shalom. That comes to exclude ketiyah bar shalom. There you mean the ketiyah bar shalom. Ketiyah bar shalom. So you might have a case. So there was a case of David son of Yudoi that hated the Jews, a Caesar that hated the Jews. Amalu lechashiv de malchus. He said to the chashiv guys, in other words, the Senate people, Misha Olay nima beragli yitena v'yichya o yanicheha yanichena v'yitzdar. He says a person who has a nima. Now, what means a nima? Nima normally means a hair. But here Rashi says that the word nima means some sort of dead flesh. If you look at Rashi here on the side. He is the Rashi. Mishiyesh l'nima beragloi. Next is the Torah Ora Shalom. Basar meis umetzari. A person has some dead flesh, presumably because of some sort of infection or whatever. Gangrene is set in. Ichweis. What should he do? Yiktaena, should he go and amputate that leg? The yichya and the rest of the body will live. Or yanicheno, should he leave it go? The yitzdar and chas v'shalom, it might cause a major infection throughout the whole body and he's going to have pain and suffering. What should he do? Go and amputate that dead meat, that dead part of the body, so that the rest of the body can continue to live. So what did he mean by asking that? He meant to ask, what am I better off? Suffering, having these terrible Jews here in my malchus? Or should I go and kill them all, and then have a malchus which is slightly amputated, that is missing so many citizens? The Gemara doesn't say why it's called Ketiyah Bar Shalom, but presumably it's related to this story that he's talking about Ketiyah and Shalom, as we'll see. Said Ketiyah Bar Shalom, he was one of the Sorim that was there in the Senate at the time of that terrible Caesar. He said, Chodul Yachlis Lehul Lekulu. Number one, you're never going to be able to go and kill out all the Jews. I spread out all the Jews like the four Ruches HaShemayim. Now what does that mean? Does that mean that I spread them and scattered them among all the four Ruches of the world, north and south and east and west? That they're everywhere. It should say, not just like the world cannot exist without having winds, that's why it's impossible for the world to exist without Klal Yisrael, without Yidduch learning Torah. The whole world is in dread. Therefore, the world cannot exist un ayit. And that's why you're never going to be successful if you want to go and kill them all out. Besides, they're going to go and say about your malchus that it's an amputated malchus. Until now you had 50 million citizens, and now you're down to 40 million citizens, or whatever. Now people are going to go and say, because he amputated part of his kingdom, and he killed out so many citizens. Amalei, so this Caesar responded to Ketiyah Bar Shalom. Again, apparently the name is because of this Ketiyah, and he's making Shalom that they shouldn't kill the Jews. Amalei, mei mishapakam, dezuksu zeh zeh gut. Miu, but you should know, kol dezochi lemelech, shadu leile kamunye chalila. Whoever bests the king, in other words, he wins the king in a debate of some sort, then we throw him in permanently into Kamunya Khalil. What's that Kamunya Khalil? Rashi, Bayis Molei Ofar. We put him into a house full of sand. Presumably they locked the doors, and the guy didn't come out until the Labaya. Okay. Karavanakhtin Lego Arslan, as they're schlepping him into that house full of offer. Amalei Mitronisa, there was a Roman matron, who was standing there, and she said, "Vay lady ilfa de azla b'loy mechsa." So she was saying in a poetic way, "Woe is to the ship or to the boat that is going on the river without paying its toll, without paying its tax." In other words, every single boat and every single ship that goes has to pay a certain toll to the government. And therefore you, Ketiyah Bar Shalom, you have saved the Jewish people. You're going to have a chedek la'olam haba together with the Jewish people, but you're going to come in without having paid your toll and your tax. What does that mean? He still had an orla, he never had a bris. And therefore,
he was a guy.
It's true. Well, I'm just telling the story. It's what we call in Yiddish, akasha of Hamas. Okay. This is what she said. So what do you think he did? Nofal al reisha, he immediately went and bent down his head till he got to the makom orla di arlasei, or nofal al reisha di arlasei, and k'tar, he went and cut it off with his teeth, with his hands, with a knife, somehow or other, he went and did a bris mila on himself. Omar! And now he said about himself, "You have this mechsi, matron, I've paid my toll." Chalf is the avris, so now they're continuing to schlep him into this bayis moli offer. Ki koshodle, as they're about to open the door and throw him in, Omar, he says, "Kol nechsoi, all my nechosim, my entire inheritance, all my possessions, I give the bekiva v'chaber." That's Rabbi Kiva v'darish. Rabbi Kiva went out and said, "How am I going to divide it between me and my chaberim?" Will be 50-50, just like by the lechem upon him and by the shtei lechem. Here too, we're going to split it up 50-50. Yotze Basko the Yomra, Basko came down from Shemayim and said, "Yitir bar shalom lezumen lechayu oilam abba." He's going to go straight into Ganayim and to chayu abba because he saved the Jewish people at the time of this terrible season. Bacha Rebbe the Yomra, so Rebbe cried and said, "Yishkoin olom b'shas achas, b'sho achas, yishkoin olom b'kam mishonim." And this person, Yitir bar shalom, in this period of 2 minutes by defending the Jewish people and telling the Caesar not to kill them, he goes straight into Olam Haba. Good. Now, Raisa, you all know that there's an expression of a Caesarean, right? A lady gives birth. It wasn't a normal delivery. A C-section. C-section really stands for Caesarean, but most people are not brilliant enough anymore to say Caesarean. They say C-section. Where does that term come from? So I believe the popular notion is that in the good old days, before they had modern-day anesthesiology, either a woman gave birth normally, or if she wasn't able to, chalila, she died, the baby died, and just couldn't. But the Caesar, they had special doctors and a great rocket scientist, so they made the first Caesar section, Kaiser Schnitt, and as a result, the baby was born through a C-section, and presumably after that, the surgery became popular among the masses, and they could say that, it's just like the Caesareans, like the C-sections done by Caesar. That, I believe, is the popular lore where the term comes from. However, Tesis tells us it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. It's not that the C-section got its name from Caesar, but Caesar got his name from the C-section.
Because he was born like that.
Because he was born like that. Oh, so what does that all mean? So we're going to look at the second Tesis before the end. A very interesting Tesis. Kol Nisiyel V'loi Kol Sorel Prat Liktir Bashan V'loi Goras. We don't regard it Sorel V'loi Kol Sorel. The Kroksiv Molochea V'chol Nisiyel, and it doesn't say the word Sorel. V'yomari, what's the definition of Nasi? To Nasi Hu HaYashish. Yashish means an older person. Shemafurish B'seifa Yosifan. In Yosifus it says Shenishbu Uraimim. The Romans made a pact between them. Shaloi Lahamlech Oid. Shaloi Lahamlech Aleim Oid Melech. No longer, no more kings. We're not going to have any more kings. Because one of the kings, unfortunately, went and took a woman forcibly, and therefore they said, forget about it, no more kings. Ella, rather, they took an elderly individual who presumably had less of a yaitzahara for taking Isha Achas, presumably. And he came, of course, with 300 advisors, and 300 may be a guzma. After a number of years, one king took over by might, with power. So now we have to listen to this. This king, his mother died in childbirth. Then it's Kaz Bitna, and they cut open her betta and her stomach, presumably after she had already died, because now you don't have to worry about anesthesia and all the rest, she's dead. Umatu Chai, and they found this young baby inside alive and kicking. u'malach aleihem, and they went and made him a melech over them. The nikra kaiser b'lashon roimi, and they called him the kaiser. From now on, no more melech. Now the term kaiser. Where does kaiser come from? Vu lashon krois b'ivris. In Hebrew, this is called a krois, like cutting, just like v'choreis imayabris, to cut. So this kaiser means in Roman, cut. The al shemoi nikru kol hamelachim shel akrav kaiser. The word shnit or cut or surgery or operation or procedure or whatever term you want to give it. Call it this incision in Lashon Roman is called kaiser. And so therefore, since that kaiser was born through a kaiser shnit, all future kaisers were called kaiser, even though they were born normally because of that first kaiser that was called because of the fact that he wasn't born through a normal delivery, but through such a schnitt. So the term kaiser schnitt is really, if you will, a duplication, just like we say, it's redundant, repetitive, and duplicitous. And duplicative, just like we say, you're going to count smira, which means you're going to count the count, or a good yontif, which means a good day. Same thing over here is, a kaiser schnitt, which is the Yiddish term, means a kaiser cut, or the kaiser word itself is a cut, so it's a cut. We're on the cutting edge of Isai. From this we know that's how the name Caesar was developed from us. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Isai. Let you continue to